And good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are, whenever you are. This is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. Welcome to Tom Harris USA episode number 98. And it is hot and sticky here again, folks. It has been, I have to say, I've been here for 9 years now in Chicago. And it seems like this year is the hottest summer that we have had yet since I've been living here. And that's been very much the same thing throughout the Midwest. It just has been a hot, unpleasant summer this year, and it's not at all what I'm used to. I moved away from Florida to get away from this sort of thing. And I can only hope that when I go away this coming week, that the weather is going to be somewhat nicer up in Minnesota. Of course, it'll be a little different on the lake, and it'll be more pleasant, I hope. And of course, it'll be a fun time. I'm going up to Minnesota next week for our triannual family reunion. And this will be a lot of fun. This is something that I always enjoy doing and I look forward to. And it's every third year, members of my mom's family meet up at a lakeside resort up in sort of the western part of Minnesota, kind of in the area of St. Cloud, and have a big old family reunion. It's just a really good time, and I'm really looking forward to it. Now, what that means, as far as the show goes, it means that I will not be posting a show next week. Now, as I record this, it is Monday, August 2nd, and this will be posted on Wednesday the 4th. Now, there will not be a new show next week, because I'll be gone next week, and I won't be able to do that. However, I will be posting one of the old shows that got deleted off the server. As you may recall, the episodes 1 through 10 were deleted off of the Podbean server because I faced a sort of a wicked space crunch and I had to get rid of some. And I've kind of brought back, I've reposted episodes 4, 5, and 6 with commentary. But I'm going to repost episode 7. And I think it's going to more or less be exactly as it originally aired. I don't know if I'm going to go in and do any editing on it. Don't really know yet. I may or may not. But one of the things that I would like to do, and certainly between now and the end of the year, is to get all of the remaining shows that have not been posted up online. Now, there is going to be an exception here. I'm not going to be reposting the first 3 episodes. And the reason why I'm not going to be posting the first 3 episodes is because, quite frankly, I go back and I listen to those and I just cringe because it was so early on and I had no clue what I was doing and like I have any idea what I'm doing now. And I just don't like those shows as well as I like the stuff that comes later. And by the by, there's nothing in those shows, those first 3 shows, that I don't talk about later at length. So you're really not missing anything, folks. Now, if you really, really, really think you're missing something by not hearing those first 3 episodes, then you can email me, and the email address to contact the show is tom@tomharrisusa.com, and you can request me send you the show, whatever show you want, 1, 2, or 3, and I will do so. But because I do have them still on my hard drive, I'm not getting rid of them. But I just don't see any real reason to repost them because, like I said, they're kind of early and I don't think they're kind of live up to the standards that some of the later stuff has risen to. Not that the show is anything, super fantastic. I am working on another project. I think I told you about that. And following episode number 100, I'm going to take a little bit of a hiatus from Tom Harris USA and work on something all new. And I gave a little teaser last time that it'd be involving mythology. So it's something to look forward to. It's all very much still in the works. I don't really want to say too much about it now, but it'll eventually come out. Now, of course, that doesn't affect the live show that I do over on United Kingdom Radio, and you can go listen to the live show almost every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time over on unitedkingdomradio.co.uk. And unlike this show, that show is a Skype-in show, so you can actually call into the show live and talk to me on the air. So I do like that. So anybody, especially if you're a new listener or a listener who just hasn't been able to work up the courage to call in, I would love to have new people calling in. Not that I don't love the people who already call, but it does seem like it's the same people who call in. And there's nothing wrong with that. And some people might complain about that, but I'm certainly not, because I certainly enjoy hearing from the, I think of my listeners, and especially the listeners who are involved with UK Radio, the other hosts and the regular listeners over there. I do regard you all as sort of like a family. And of course, I love hearing from my family, so you can always call. But I would like people who perhaps haven't called in to call in. And I really would very much appreciate that. Now, the live show will be also on holiday for the next 2 weeks. So on August 7th, Suco Sullivan will be subbing for me over on UKR. And on the 14th, I believe it's going to be either Suco and or Stacey White who will be subbing for me over there. And I forgot to mention that on my live show Saturday. And I signed off, oh yeah, see you next week, you know. And I actually won't be. I'll be up in Minnesota. And the problem with me doing a show is that, I don't have any real sense of what the internet is like up there. And I didn't want to schlep up my my mixer and all that stuff up there. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my old USB headset up there with me. And the 7th, I definitely won't be able to log in because I'll be on the road that day. But early in the morning on the 14th, I may actually call into my own show. Or whoever is subbing for me on the 14th, if I can. We'll see. I mean, I'm gonna take the headset with me regardless. I don't know if their computer up there has Skype or whether they have high speed internet or, because they're kind of out in the middle of nowhere. And hopefully that'll work out. But anyway, so next week there will be an old show in place of the regular weekly podcast, and then I'll be back in the following week with Tom Harris USA number 99. The penultimate weekly podcast, because after 100, of course, as I just said, I'll be taking a little bit of a hiatus. So speaking of United Kingdom Radio, I actually was listening to Paul Edwards, who does the show over there on Mondays and Wednesdays. And he was talking about something that kind of caught my interest. And I've heard about this thing before, because I know a few people who do this. And that is geocaching. And it's sort of like a scavenger hunt or a treasure hunt. I guess this would really be a better thing. It'd be a treasure hunt. So being like a treasure hunt, you obviously have to have treasure. And in the case of geocaching, there's usually it's sort of like an old military ammunition box, or they can be like as small as a magnetic key holder. You know, they can be either really small or the size of a 5-gallon drum. And they would have various things in them. Usually there's a log that you write your name in to show that you found it, and various other things sometimes. And so it is kind of like a little treasure, and sometimes you can take something out of it and leave something behind. And a lot of people do this. Now, one of the things I was thinking about doing, and I'm not sure what the rules are about it, but I've heard of people putting CDs in these things. But I thought it might be a cool idea to make like a CD of maybe, you know, 4 or 5 episodes of my show and put that in there. And I don't think that would be a real promotional tool or anything, but at least it would be something that I can contribute to the cash without, you know, costing a lot of money, and maybe also get a few listeners or not. But anyway, you would get a portable GPS system and put in the coordinates into the GPS of a cache, of a geocache. And you use your GPS system to find it. The coordinates, of course, you get online. And there's a major forum, which is at geocaching.com, which kind of gives you the coordinates for these various geocaches that are hidden all around the world. And, you know, there's thousands and thousands of these things scattered throughout the United States. And also in other countries as well. And hearing him talk about it, it's like, I definitely had heard about it before, but I hadn't really thought seriously about, you know, actually trying it out. And over the last week, I've actually been thinking about it quite a lot. And, you know, because the last thing I need is a new hobby. Because I have so many things that I do. I'm, you know, a video gamer. I have my various podcasts and the live show, of course. And And also, you know, things like correspondence with friends and things. And to be honest, I don't get out of the city all that much. But I was on the website. I was on the geocaching.com, which is the kind of the official website of geocaching. And I found out that Chicago is riddled with geocaches. So I don't need to travel very far to find these geocaches. And it got me thinking, you know, because there's a lot of times when Pete and I are out and about, you know, we're doing this and that, and maybe we could actually sneak in some geocaching. And I started kind of looking around at these various handheld GPS systems, and, you know, it used to be they would be a couple $100. You know, it used to be something that would be, you know, fairly expensive to get one of these things. And what I'm finding now is that there are some that are quite inexpensive. And indeed, there are some that are less accommodated towards, like, driving a car, getting from point A to point B by road, and which is what a lot of these GPS systems are really designed for, either that or, like, orienteering out in the woods. But there's some that are actually designed for geocaching itself, and those tend to be a bit cheaper. And I mean, after all, I mean, the iPhone, Pete's iPhone, has a GPS system built into it. But that's really designed for driving around on the highway. And, of course, Pete doesn't really want me to borrow his iPhone to go out geocaching. I really need something of my own. It would be cool, I think, to try it, you know, just to give it a go. So I'm going to go, I think tomorrow probably, and look at what the various stores have. I know that you know, Best Buy has them, and Target has them. So I'm going to go see, and I saw one in particular that looked like it was a, you know, low-cost one, and really kind of made for beginners. And that's, of course, what I would be. So I just might give it a go, because I've got a major road trip coming up. And I'm going to be out driving along these country lanes, because that's the way I prefer to drive. I like to go on the small roads, not so much on the, you know, on the super freeways. I tend to like to go on the old U.S., the Lincoln freeways, sort of what we had before the interstate highways. And I like going through these little small towns and going through these natural areas and things. And that's where a lot of these geocaches are. So let it never be said that Paul Edwards did not have any effect on me. Not that I would ever say that anyway. Because I think it's going to be really cool, and I'm going to give it a go. And maybe do some urban exploration. And of course, while I'm on my Minnesota trip, I'm going to try to learn how to use this thing. It doesn't seem to be all that difficult from the description. And maybe start doing some geocaching. And maybe Pete and I can go out and do some of this out in the countryside, you know, during the weekends when we don't have a lot else going on. I think it would be kind of cool. So I'm going to give that a go. And I think that'll be fun. So I'm looking forward to that. And of course, you know, the vacation thing, of course, I'm always looking forward to going on vacation, because I don't feel like, since I started working again, I haven't had a break. And so it is kind of a good thing to be going away, even though it's only for a week. Okay, so let's move on along. I do have a brief email here from our good friend Leanne Gwynn. Hello, LG. And she was talking about a article that appeared in Smithsonian.com. It was from the most recent edition of the online Smithsonian magazine, and it's in the history and archaeology section of the magazine. Really interesting article about ancient graffiti, because I, of course, many months ago now, I did actually do a show segment on ancient graffiti, because in the various travels that I've had, I've seen a lot of this ancient graffiti, and particularly in cathedrals and also in Roman ruins and so forth. This article is about graffiti in Pompeii. And I'd seen a lot of this graffiti in Pompeii. Now, not all of Pompeii is open to the public. There's, of course, a great deal of Pompeii that's still buried, that has not been excavated, and they're actually not, they're purposely not excavating a lot of it, because, you know, the future people will have better ways of preserving things and so forth. So there's still quite a lot to be discovered in Pompeii. But the graffiti, of course, is very visible. And even though it's, you know, as it's been exposed to the elements, it has faded, there's still quite a lot of it that's still certainly legible. But anyway, this article I found really interesting that they're giving examples, you know, because people talking about, you know, the politics of the day. You know, people talking about, of course, you know, there's the usual, somebody, you know, Flavius loves Julia, that sort of thing that you would find in graffiti even now. But I love this example that they show, a little epigram that they found, and it reads as follows. I'm amazed, O wall, that you have not fallen in ruins, you who support the tediousness of so many writers. You imagine if people were writing graffiti like that today? I suppose maybe somewhere in the world somebody does, but certainly not around here. Here you get, you know, the gang tags and stuff like that in my neighborhood, but that's just, you know, the urban environment that I live in. As opposed to the urban environment of Pompeii, which must have been very different. So anyway, thanks LG for sending that along, and as always, I hope to hear from you again sometime soon. And of course, feel free to call in to the live show on Saturday mornings over on United Kingdom Radio, because I don't think I've ever spoken to you over Skype. And don't use that no mic excuse on me, young lady, because I seem to recall that you do actually have a microphone, because I heard you on American Talk USA long, long, long time ago. So feel free to call into my show. It'd be great to hear from you. Okay, so getting into the second half of the show here, I have an edition here of Tom's Travels. I do want to thank the various people who've kind of said to me, at least very briefly, I thought that the travel segments are really interesting. I really appreciate that because it means a lot to me, because obviously the travel segments are something that are very close to my experience and something that I've really experienced and really enjoy sharing with people. Now, not every one of the places I visited really kind of warrants its own particular mention, but I've been thinking about it, and there's a lot of these sort of smaller towns that I've been to, and they kind of deserve a mention, even if it's only a little 5-minute segment. And I don't think I could talk about any of these places for more than that, but I have a couple that begin with the letter A, because of course I did Amsterdam in the first one, I did Austria last time, and today I'm going to do a couple other little towns that begin with A, the first one of which is Aachen. Now, Aachen is on the border area between Germany and the Netherlands. And back in the 8th century, this was the capital, or the favored royal residence, of the Emperor Charlemagne. Now, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, and in fact listening to some of the genealogy shows that I've done, you'll know that I'm a descendant of the Emperor Charlemagne, as indeed about one-third of people of European descent alive today are. But so any place involving Charlemagne, any place that was touched by Charlemagne and he has retained an influence today, I find really, really interesting because he was so, so very long ago. Now, I had the opportunity to stay in Aachen back in 1996. It was one of my periodic trips over there. And I had a friend who was living there at the time. He was a net friend of mine by the name of Rolf. And I stayed with Rolf for a couple of nights, and the main reason I did, because I wanted to see Charlemagne's cathedral. Now, the cathedral itself is a very, very small little building. It's like a third of the size of the much later Gothic cathedrals. And it's got this very unusual sort of octagonal design to it. Now, over the centuries, they added bits and pieces onto the cathedral, which give it a very unusual shape. But, of course, the original church is all still mostly intact. And, indeed, Charlemagne himself is buried there. So it was kind of like a little pilgrimage for me. But I wanted to go there. And, of course, Aachen was a walled city. And there are still remnants of some of the ancient walls even now. Though not very many. There's just a few gatehouses here and there. And Aachen was sort of a center of German royal family significance up until the middle of the Middle Ages. Sort of in the latter part of the Middle Ages, it had lost influence and people didn't really care about it anymore. But back in the early Middle Ages, of course, it was a very, very important place, and something like 30 German emperors and the Holy Roman emperors had been crowned there, being a holy site, of course, because of Charlemagne himself. Now, another interesting family tie is that King Ethelwulf of Wessex, who was the father of King Alfred the Great, was born in Aachen, and that was a different ancestor of mine in a different part of the family. So I think that's really interesting. Now, there's not a ton of stuff in Aachen. It's a pleasant enough little town. It doesn't have much there now other than the cathedral. And, of course, a lot of the later buildings, you know, the ones that came in the Middle Ages and later, are very, very charming. Now, Aachen is a spa town, so there are natural hot springs there, and it's still possible to go to some of these spas. The largest one of these is, they're very expensive, folks. I'm not going to kid you. I didn't have the money to actually go into these spas. But, what's called the Carolus Thermen, which is actually named after Charlemagne. There's a lot of interesting student hangouts and things around Aachen because it's a university town. So that's really kind of cool. And we went out to some of the, like, student pubs and things when I was staying there. Now, Aachen is an easy place to get to and from. It's on a major rail line. It's actually on the Brussels to Frankfurt on Main line. And you also can get the Paris trains. The high-speed Thalys trains stop at Aachen Hauptbahnhof. So it is kind of an easy place to come and go from. And I think it's well worth a stop if you're in that general area. Even if you're just passing through, I think Aachen is worth a day. I think you can see all of the major sites in the better part of an afternoon. So even be suitable for a day trip, perhaps. Now, the other town I want to talk about, albeit briefly, is in the region of Umbria in Italy. And I was there during the same visit to Europe in 1996. And I talk about that visit a lot because it was 8 months long and I was pretty much everywhere. But anyway, this is a little town in Umbria called Assisi. Now, Assisi is best known for being the birthplace of several saints. But, of course, the most famous son of Assisi would be St. Francis of Assisi, the patron saint of birds. And Assisi in itself, even if you take away all of the religious significance and so forth, because I really don't care about any of that stuff. I prefer the historical significance of the place rather than the religious significance. Of course, being an atheist, I could care less about the churches from a religious point of view. But it is a place that has a lot of very important religious sites, and including the Cathedral of St. Francis itself. And also a number of other older sites. There are two medieval castles in Assisi, which is quite extraordinary when you consider that you can walk from one end of the town to another in about a half an hour. Maybe even less if you're a fast walker. And it sort of clings to this mountainside, which of course has caused problems over the years with things like earthquakes and that sort of thing. Now I had the misfortune, or I guess you could consider it a fortune, of arriving in Assisi on Christmas Eve. So, of course, all of the travelers' hostels were quite full. I did finally manage to find a place there at a pension and was able to stay there. And I didn't think it was that expensive, especially when you consider that I was there over Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. There were no trains on Christmas Day, so I kind of had to stay there over then. But that was okay. And I don't think that there are too many better places where you could spend Christmas Day than in Assisi. And one of the things that really surprised me about being there was that everything was open on Christmas Day. The restaurants were open. Not all the shops were open, but some of the shops were open. Maybe they don't consider it as important to be closed on Christmas there, or maybe because of all the religious pilgrims, it's just lucrative to be open. Anyway, I was very pleasantly surprised to arrive there and actually have shops open, and I was able to get food and stuff on Christmas Day. But anyway, speaking of that, it's a beautiful little town. Now, there are two medieval castles in Assisi. There's the Rocca Maggiore, which is built in about 1300s, and then there is an older castle, which name I forget, which is actually of Roman origin and is mostly in ruins now. It is, of course, mainly known, of course, for its churches. And the churches do not disappoint, because obviously when you have churches that are dedicated to major saints, they go all out. And the Cathedral of St. Francis, in fact, has a great number of very, very important frescoes by important medieval fresco artists. Now, some of these were destroyed in 1997 with the earthquakes there, which was just the year after I was there. I do sometimes blame that on me going there because being the Pope of secular humanism, you know, every time I walk into a church, it is in fact desecrated. So, it is, you know, walking into churches is something of a hobby of mine, especially when I'm over in Europe. But, I don't seriously, honestly, folks, I do not take credit for the earthquake. But it's unfortunate that, you know, a piece of the vaulting collapsed in 1997, and I believe that there were people killed. It is a beautiful, beautiful church, and you can go down into the crypt and see this strangely modern-looking, I think sort of granite block, which is the tomb of St. Francis himself. Now, it's funny because I kind of wonder how much of St. Francis is actually still in there, if he was ever in there to begin with, because the other church in Assisi, the Church of St. Clair, has a bunch of bits of Francis of Assisi, including, I think, some of his fingers. So it kind of makes me wonder, you know, because the Catholics have this very strange tradition of chopping people up and worshiping the pieces. It's one that I find just really, really bizarre and interesting at the same time. But I was very, very struck by, you know, how pretty that town was. And Umbria, of course, is a very, very picturesque part of Italy. And I spent a very enjoyable day wandering around the Rocca Maggiore, looking at the peacocks. There were these wild, I guess wild, peacocks just sort of wandering around. And interestingly enough, when I woke up on Christmas morning, it was actually snow on the ground, even though it really wasn't cold out. So that was kind of cool too. And even just sort of walking the streets and seeing what there was to see. And of course, in addition to all of the churches, there are a lot of these medieval buildings that are remained intact. And they've, you know, withstood the various earthquakes and things very, very well. One of the other significance, this is sort of a personal distinction for me of Assisi, was that was actually the first place where I'd had Caffè Americano. This was actually before the coffee shops in America made a big deal out of serving Americano coffee, and which basically is made properly. You make a Caffè Americano by pouring a cup of boiling water and then pouring a shot of espresso into it. That's what they call American coffee. And I suppose that's what the GIs who were in Italy, you know, during World War II wanted. Yeah, you know, they didn't want the really strong, you know, espresso that they would drink in Umbria. But I have to say that to this day, it's one of the most memorable cups of coffee that I've ever had. And I can hear kind of, a couple of people smirking there in the background, maybe Kelly, who actually knew me back in high school, and maybe my best friend Paul, who I think maybe sometimes listens to the show, because Paul and I used to draw little comics back when I was in high school. And one of the characters that we would occasionally throw in just kind of for giggles was Francis of Assisi, or indeed Francis of Assisi impersonators. So it was interesting reconciling the fictional Assisi in the little comics that we drew with the real thing. Now, interestingly enough, another little piece of Assisi trivia before I move on is that St. Francis is not the patron saint of Assisi, which I kind of found a little bit unusual since he's kind of their most famous son. That honor indeed goes to St. Rufinus of Assisi, who lived just a little bit later. So I guess they had to give him something to do. Couldn't let St. Francis hog all the glory, I guess. Anyhow, I am running out of time, and next time, don't forget, next week I will not be on with a weekly show. However, if you're listening in podcast, that's not really going to matter because you're going to have an older show posted next week, which one of the ones that had been deleted off the server. Don't forget the live show, which you can hear most Saturdays, and I say that because I'm not going to be on for the next 2 weeks because I'm going to be on holiday, over on unitedkingdomradio.co.uk at 10 a.m. Central Time on Saturday morning, which would be 4 p.m. over in the UK. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up for now. I'm going to go on vacation. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back in a week, and I'll talk to you soon. This is Tom in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, signing off. We'll see you next time.